Welcome to Oryx Radio's My Health Journey podcast. You will now be listening to our health promotion program where we focus on health-related topics. So sit back, relax, and listen to what we have to share.
Hello, my name is Hakim. I'm 18 years old and I'm a reporter for Oryx Radio. This is the first installment of a series of podcasts that discuss the rights of children in the hospital. Each month we will discuss a different right that children should have while in hospital. But for this one, we're looking at the general understanding that children and their parents or caregivers have about a child's right in hospital. I will serve as the narrator for this podcast as it mainly consists of vox pops from the participants. We chat to children who are patients at the hospital, their parents or caregivers, to health workers, and Laurie Lake, who works with the Children's Institute. We will discuss a few aspects of children's rights in hospital. We will get a sense from patients and their parents or caregivers if they are aware of any of their rights and if any of them are aware of the procedures to follow if their rights are not respected. The participants in this podcast are from Red Cross Children's Hospital and Paul Hospital. The Children's Institute aims to contribute to policies, laws and interventions that promote equality and realize the rights and improve the conditions of all children in South Africa through research, advocacy, education and technical support.
My name's Laurie. The CI is an organization that does research around children's socioeconomic rights, and we use that evidence to improve programs and services for children. Part of what I do at the CI is to teach a child rights and child law course for health professionals to start to think quite critically about the way in which they deliver services to children. And through that engagement, they start to improve the quality of care and do things differently in a way that really respects the needs of children and their caregivers. In the South African setting, in 1996, we adopted a new constitution, and in that constitution is a Bill of Rights. And essentially, both the constitution and the Bill of Rights wanted to create a foundation for a new society, one in which the dignity of every human being was respected, and that includes men, women, and children. Children are entitled to all of those rights except for the right to vote. But tucked into the Constitution is also Section 28 that speaks specifically to the rights of children. And that's because the drafters of the Constitution recognize that children are more vulnerable. They're dependent on adults to provide care and support. And also they don't have a voice in elections, so they don't have the same kind of power to hold government accountable. So in Section 28, it outlines children's right to family, parental, and alternative care. It outlines their right to protection from abuse and neglect, and to have their best interests considered of paramount importance in any matter affecting that child. But we can't begin to understand what children's needs are unless we start to include them in the conversation. So when you take a look at the Children's Act, that spells out how you can go about establishing best interests. And there it says we need to take the views of the child into consideration.
Here's what children and their parents and caregivers have to say about their rights.
Ek is Sabrina, ek is 16 jaar oud. Ek dink een van die kindersregte is die mense wat hulle opsien na hulle moet eers vir die kinders toestemming vra om miskien navorsing van hulle te doen. En maar die kinders moet eers ja of nee sê en dan kan hulle die saak verder vat.
Hi, my name is Elliot. I'm 10 years old, and I think that children have the right to be treated ASAP, which is standing for as soon as possible.
Hi, my name is Siraj. I'm 8 years old. I'm an Oryx Radio reporter. When children are in hospital, they have the right to be safe.
I am Shyam Kader. I am the chief dietitian at Red Cross Children's Hospital. Why is child rights important? For one, it allows us all to keep in mind aspects related to the benefits or the best interest of the child. So one of the major important rights are the right of participation in health decision-making processes, to be part of making decisions related to their condition, then helps to reduce in distress or anxiety. It then helps him to be, allows him to cooperate. I find that if you include them, they are then less resistant to any kind of expectations or anything related to their management. The other one is the rights of a child related to informed about the condition. I find that many of our patients, particularly the adolescents, they are worried about the condition, so there's a level of resistance. But if you inform them why you need to follow a specific requirement, for example, in my situation where they are expected to be on any particular diet restrictions or follow a dietary plan, I find that they have better buy-in if you would actually include them into what the reasons behind the management, so informing them in detail about the condition and how the dietary plans fit into it.
My name is Ailey. I'm 7 years old, and I think the right is to give them a checkup.
Hi, my name is Napo. I'm from Down Syndrome Support Cape here in Red Cross. They call us family counselors, but I'm qualified as a social worker. Yes, I do believe that it is important for children to have rights here in the hospital. According to our constitution, all children have rights, and that right is not determined by the environment where they are. So all the children's rights should apply here.
Goeiemôre, ek is Samantha Abrams in die Parel, en ek het 'n kind wat aan 'n kroniese siekte ly. Eerstens, kinders moet geërken word dat hulle is 'n mens, en hulle kan ook 'n besluit neem, en dan ook dat informatie moet ook aan hulle toegegee word, sodat die mens kan van hulle ook samenwerking kan verwag, en dat hulle ook weet wat om te verwag vorentoe.
Ek is Malam Ding Orienda, Sibongo Mhlana, ndisebenza kwicandelo lezempilo, ndilapha eRed Cross, isibhedlele sabantwana. Abantwana banelungelo kwi environment eclean, banelungelo kwi abazali babo babe khona xa ogqirha bebalolonga abantwana bebaxilonga. Abantwana banelungelo kwi kukutya okusempilweni.
Hello, my name is Nadira Pinar. I am the mom of Samina Pinar, who was diagnosed with leukemia, ALL, when she was 3 years old in 2010. It is important for children to have rights in hospital because they are little people. And I think one of the most important rights is for them to have basic respect as children and to be heard when they speak, especially when they are in pain or if something else is wrong, because sometimes they can't vocalize how they feel. So for them screaming is them saying that they are in pain. Or if they are acting out, it's another way of them of trying to tell someone how they feel. The other one is the right to medicine, because without the medication and assistance of the doctors and nurses, they won't be able to heal and become better.
Hi, ek is Therese, ek is 18 jaar oud. Een van my kinderregte wat ek wil sê is dat die dokters en nurse altyd na die kind se belange wil gaan. Altyd die laagste belange luister en soos hulle dinge wil doen, dinge doen.
Hi, my name is Astra and I'm 19 years old, and I think the rights of a chronic child who has a chronic illness is that the expectations that they have to be cared for should be fulfilled by their health workers.
I'm Sister Zainu Brown. I work here in oncology, at least 25 years, maybe 26 years at Red Cross. The first thing that springs to mind is that a child has a right to health care. So the parent has obviously taken a sick child to a clinic or a GP, and perhaps we are the last stop. So we are here, we offer specialized service for children that are sick. And children do have a right to health, goes without saying, and we can help them to restore their health, back to health.
Nationally, there's a patient rights charter, and that applies to all patients, including children. But one of the challenges with a lot of documents, including the Constitution, the patient's rights charter, is they're not necessarily sensitive to the specific needs of children and the way in which children's needs and capacities evolve over time. So there has been work done internationally by the Child Friendly Hospital Initiative to take the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child and to translate that into standards for child and family-friendly care. So instead of talking about, for example, the right to family care, they say, well, what does this mean for a child in hospital? And in that case, it might mean that children are allowed to have access to their parents 24 hours a day, that there should be no visiting hours that restrict that contact. And that stems partly from children's right to family care, but it also stems from a recognition that having your parent or your caregiver with you in hospital helps to alleviate some of the fear and distress that you might experience being in a strange environment, being ill, being subject to painful procedures. So having your mom or your dad in the room with you is really, really important, and it helps children to heal. So that's a global initiative. There's been other work done nationally around a mother and baby friendly hospital initiative to look at how newborn babies are cared for. And then some work in KwaZulu-Natal to develop a children's charter for children in hospital. But that still hasn't been formally adopted by the province.
That's the end of part one. We still have more to go. So get up, stretch a bit, and go fetch your cup of warm coffee. And when you're back, you can press play. Welcome back. We will continue with this program. Here is the next part.
Now we'll be listening to stories by patients and their parents and caregivers where their rights were not respected in hospital.
Hello, ek is Jordan Martin en ek is hier weer. Ek was een dag op het tijd en toen ek siek geword. En toen neem my ma af my kliniek toe. En toen kom ek by die kliniek en toen was daar so'n vet sister. Toen zei die zuster dat ik het TB. En toen zei mijn ma, omdat dat is zo'n dat ik het TB niet. En toen zei die zuster met mijn ma dat ik het TB. Maar dat was niet zo niet.
Ik is Sabrina en ik is 16 jaar oud. Toen ik 12 was, had ik waterpokjes gehad. En ik was naar de kliniek toe, maar mijn waterpokjes was erg en ik was bang. Ik had andere kinders rondom mij aansteken. Maar toen was het bij lang gewacht en toen zijn we de naast toe gegaan en de naast toe was nou bij onderzoek en zei, nee, maar dat is zo, is hij iets meiden niet, is hij een kalaman en daar kan maar eens toe gaan. Daar was een ziekbriefje, zit me explain wat moet ik maken of zo.
Hi, my name is Tamina. I am 12 years old. I used to be at this hospital. But the thing is that the children in the hospital have the right to actual proper food and also the movies that are meant for children, not the movies that just come on TV, because not all children like the stuff that come on TV. They're always bored, so they have to watch the thing that comes on TV, which I never used to like. That's why my mother bought me stuff to watch and stuff.
I had a sprain on my neck once, like probably a few weeks ago, and trust me, it was painful. Like, I had to wait for hours just to get cured. Like, I think 10 hours. And we also had to leave, like, ragely leave, because no one was treating me, except for one doctor, but then that doctor left us alone again. So we had to leave immediately. We could have just stayed there and act like it was our own home. So me and my mom left, but then my neck is better.
Hi, goeiedag allemaal. Ek is Edlet Pietersen. Ek is die mamie van Cole Pietersen. Cole is 8 jaar oud. Cole het 11 Oktober 2018 een oggend net opgestaan en gesê, ek kan nie sien nie, in mekaar gesak. Ons het gehaas hospitaal toe en daar was gesê dat hy het inflammasie op die brein, wat in ander woorde, dit is bikkestaf en kevalitis wat verwant is aan Guillain-Barré, wat baie raar is, en dit het vir hom veroorsaak dat hy verlams is, in 'n rolstoel sit, en hy is tans nou op kroniese behandeling. Ek het nooit geweet dat as, sê byvoorbeeld, jy is gekoppel aan life support, dat die reg is nie meer in jou hande as ouer nie. want dit was vir my 'n skok gewees. Kool se geval was Kool was gekoppel aan life support en die dokter het gesê dat die familie moet inkom. Hy kon nie op sy eie asemhaal en ek dink dat dit is jou keuse as ouer. Ek gaan nie plakster. Ek gaan nie die plakstrekkie maar okay, jy kan maar die plaks afsit. Ek gaan nou nie meer lewe wees nie. Maar daar was vir ons gesê dat die ouers sê nie meer nie. Want die dokters besluit sê ja daaroor van so seker geval wat daar gewees het dat die ouers mekaar later verwyd. Maar jy het gesê ons moet die kind se lewe. Jy het gesê toe die dokters nou besluit dat dit is nou nie meer in die ouers se hande nie, is nou nie in hulle hande. Ek voel dat dit is as jy wil klou nog aan 'n jou kind lê daar. Jy's 'n mami. Jy gaan nie maklik afskeid neem van 'n kind wat daar lê nie. En ek voel dat hoekom moet ander mense besluit? O, ek het dokters word ook as hoorsag, hooggesag. Hulle doen ook maar hulle werk, maar dan moet hulle probeer om God te speel nie. Want my afskeid is my afskeid met my kind. Of jy nog gaan sê môre of wat, ek voel nie dat dit vir my totally gebreek. Van masjiene wat af moet gesit word. En die ouers het hierdie reg daarvoor om te sê nie. Want hulle het reeds al besluit. Hierdie dokter en daardie dokter het al klaar besluit masjiene gaan afgesit word. So ek voel dat dit 'n mens meer miskien ingelig kan word in die toekoms waaroor en hoe dit gaan staan.
An experience of us is when she once was saying having a drip and there was a problem with the drip and the person who came took out the drip and was fiddling with her hand and her hand was sore and she was saying her hand is sore and she got so frustrated that she turned to her aunt who was there that day and said in a very loud voice, just look at this lady, she's hurting me at this very moment. So that's an experience that we had with a nurse not listening to her as she was saying that she was actually sore. The other thing is that the experience that we had was when she was down and we was trying to lift her spirit. And in the end, it wasn't us as the parents who lifted her spirit. It was the experience of another child, respecting how she felt and then just talking to her and giving her some advice, or rather just talking to her about the experience that both of them are going through. Because he also had leukemia and he had ALM, which was worse than Tamina's.
My name is Nelisa. I am 11 years old. When I was 8 years old, I had chickenpox. My mommy took me to the doctor, and when I went to the doctor said I must stay outside because I can't go in. The children that is there is going to catch what I have. And a nurse came and she took me to another ward, and I took to stay in the last room in the ward, and I stayed there for 3 weeks, I think. The nurse and the doctor didn't explain why I'm in that room.
Hi, my name is Lisa. I'm a mom of a child with ADHD and autism spectrum disorder. Children are the forgotten part of a society. People say the children are our future, but they don't really mean that because nobody really listens to the children. And they need the biggest thing is respect, because with respect, the other things flow from that. But if you really have respect for children, don't brush them aside. Don't say they must be seen and not heard. Include them, and if, where possible, in their choices. Maybe sometimes they have a choice. Do they want this to eat or that to eat? If they've got a choice, let them have the choice as well. Yeah, try and give children choices. Yeah.
We asked Lori what children or the caregivers should do if their rights are not respected. And this is what she had to say.
They need to speak up. Ideally, they need to speak up and talk to someone that they trust. Unfortunately, we don't yet live in a society where all adults respect children's rights. Many adults are not that willing to listen because they grew up in homes where they themselves as children didn't have a voice. I know when I grew up, they used to talk about children are better seen and not heard. It's better for children to be quiet, not to make contact, not to speak out. We're living, thankfully, in a very different world now, so children do have a voice. There are many adults, health professionals, social service professionals, parents, who do genuinely listen two children and put their best interests first. So find someone that you trust. Tell them your story. If they don't listen the first time, tell someone else until someone takes you seriously and helps address the problem. And working through a forum like Red Cross Children's Radio really gives you an incredibly powerful platform as a young person to raise issues and for them to be heard. And we're seeing, you know, even if we're looking at the environmental movement at the moment, the way in which it's being led by young people. So, yeah, believe in yourself, speak up, find someone that you trust. There is a formal complaints procedure within the healthcare service, so there's ways to raise things formally. And you could bring them to the advocacy committee in the Department of Pediatrics and Child Health.
That's it for our discussion on what children's rights are in hospital. In the next podcast, we will discuss a specific right.
Thank you for taking your time out to listen to this program. This was put together by RX Radio, a radio station by and for children, situated at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. Please visit our website www.rxradio.co.za for more amazing programming. Enjoy the rest of your day.